ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
हरे कृष्ण. I would like to welcome a very warm, or I would like to extend, sorry, a very warm welcome to all our assembled guests and devotees who have come together today for this Sunday feast program. In the month of May, the temperatures are soaring outside, especially in this part of the country. We are feeling the effects of the heat in the summertime. So it's so very wonderful that it is during this time that we have so many occasions wherein all of you can come together in this AC hall to hear about the Lord's activities and glorify Him in various ways. This last month we had the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. We celebrated Ram Navami on the 14th. This month we are celebrating Narasingha Chaturdashi, the appearance of Lord Narasingadev on the 16th. Presently the Chandan Yatra festival is going on for 21 days. There's also the appearance of Mother Sita, the wife of Lord Ramachandra. So many festivals to come and take part in activities that are very favorable for making progress or advancing our consciousness, purifying our consciousness. So since we are in between these two great festivals, today I will speak from, actually, just last week I was in one place for the first time and I met some children there. So this is for the first time meeting them. These are normal children, right? So I had to somehow or the other strike a conversation. So when I grew up as a child, I remember we used to have all this powerful personalities who would be represented through these comic books. Superman, Spider-Man, like that. And seeing that how everyone is affected by the media today, especially the virtual media, so I thought maybe this is how I'll start my conversation with this child. So I asked him, "So what do you think about Superman?" So, well, I had my agenda. I knew where to lead it. It's been a long time since I've had some close connection with Superman. Many years now have passed. So children today are a little different, aren't they? They don't have much expressions on their face. Previously, children would have a lot of expressions on their face. Children today are a bit different. So he had the staring eyes and not much expression on his face. So I said, "Okay, Spider-Man?" I said, "Why don't you tell me about Hanuman?" So that was interesting. So we don't have super or spider people here. We have Hanu or Hanuman. So today I was, inspired me to choose this topic, and I'm going to describe from the Ramayana, especially the Valmiki Ramayana. I'll begin off with the Aranyakand, just one aspect of the Aranyakand, which involves Hanumanji, his introduction. And then I'll go on to Yuddhakand, which is very much desirable by all devotees. two cants or two cantos of the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, which everyone likes, and is people hardly know there are other cantos also. You know, so Yuddha Kanda everyone knows. You know the fighting part, Lanka, Hanuman's jumping, and the Lanka battle. People know in great detail, but the first few cantos are not really very much famous, so to say. And the Mahabharata, it is again the Yuddha Parva, the Bhishma Parva and the Yuddha Parva, that are Karna Parva, Bhishma Parva, the Yuddha part, the battle part is very much famous. We don't know much of the other Parvas that are there. So because I have my reputation at stake, I thought I'll speak from the Yuddha Kand. You know, it's easier for everyone. So we'll begin with the Aranya Kand, where Hanumanji's introduction is there. Lord Ram and Lakshman have been banished 14 years, short summary. So they enter the forest, stay for some time in the northern part of this Indian continent, subcontinent. Then they travel, they cross the Vindhyas, and then they come to the southern part. Mother Sita gets stolen in the southern part of the territory. On those days, the southern part were most dangerous, I guess. Nowadays, northern India is considered to be having a lot of law and order situation, problems. And people, one some of the best, the cities where you would like to settle down with your family and have your children grow are in the southern part of the country, right? Maybe in Treta Yuga it was a bit different. The northern parts, they had a nice time. In the southern part, when he came, to the south of the Vindhyas, Sita was stolen. Or she was kidnapped. She wasn't really stolen. She was kidnapped. So they went out on the search. And then they met this person who was actually a huge personality. It was like a one-celled amoeba, you know. For those of you, this is biology, right? Seventh grade, seventh standard, I guess, you study biology. The amoeba and the paramecium, the one-celled organisms, right? So this was the amoeba is the prototype of this organism, let us say. This huge organism had no hands, just two appendages actually. The entire body was fitted into one big huge blob. Just with one mouth in it. That's it. No eyes, no ears, nothing. No other features. Just one huge blob like that. And two pseudopodia like that. Two appendages outside. 8 miles long. This was Kabandha. Someone who had been cursed, cursed like that. Just as in today's age, the advances in medicine have sometimes resulted in genetic disformation. In the previous ages, curses would cause genetic disformation. So Kabandha had a genetic malformation there. He had just this one huge blob with two hands extending. So Ram and Lakshman, they came and they liberated him and he gave them the direction. He said, why don't you go towards the Aishyamukha Parvat? There close to the Pampa Sarovar, the Pampa Lake, you'll find the Monkey King Sugriva and he'll be very helpful, very beneficial in your search for Sita. You should make friendship with him. So they had no other means, right? This was the only clue that they had as to where Sita could be found. So they grasped it with both hands. They went searching for Sugriva. They landed up in the territory of this Kishkindha Chetra, close to the Rishyamukha Parvat. Sugriva observed them. Yeah, most probably Sugriva was, he was tracking everyone on Google. Wanting, because Sugriva had a dangerous situation. He was in a territory which was, somewhere where he felt safe, a fortress, not really a fortress, but a territory that was free from the advances of his most dreaded enemy, his own brother, Vali. So somehow or the other it was protected. So Sugriva detected them. He had his own ways of finding out who's coming, and he could really zoom on them and find out their characteristics, It's not that just today we have the zoom sat cameras, Someone can easily be located. Sugriva had the technology also. From far off, he could see. They were in the dense jungle. Kishkindha was a dense jungle then. And in a jungle, it is not easy to spot anyone. because of the thick foliage. But Sugriva knew. So he sent his most trusted minister, Hanuman, to find out who these were. And he was suspicious. At the same time, seeing their features, he also felt some hope. The suspicion was Vali sending someone to cause harm? And the hope was, these are such illustrious personalities, if they were on my side, then maybe I could challenge Vali. Right? Ever been in a situation like this? You know, let's say, I don't know, it's not, but a couple of years back, you had that last question on Kaun Banega Karorpati? You know? The last one, either you get 50 lakhs or you lose, no, you get 1 crore, right? Or you lose the 50, you had 50 lakhs by then. The last question is worth 50 lakhs, I guess. Someone told me like that. Please don't correct me right now. Later on, you can tell me if I'm wrong. But, so yes, the last question, you win all or you lose all, right? Just imagine a situation like that. Or a small child, you offer him something and say, you take this and you have to give up everything. And child is wondering, should I take this or give up everything or not? Because if I don't get this and I lose all of that, then what happens? Right? Sugriva is in the same situation. It's a situation that any normal person would find himself in. But for him, this was very important. So he engaged Hanuman, his most trusted, intelligent minister. Go and find out who they are. But because we are really, we cannot completely trust them, so don't reveal yourself unless it is necessary. So Hanumanji immediately took on the form of a Brahmana. Right? And he approached him as a very intelligent Brahmana. And he tries this way and that way. Oh, you appear to be such wonderful personalities. You have such radiance. You look so powerful. You have this matted hair on your head. You are wearing tree bark. Yet you are carrying a bow and arrow. Your arms are very powerful, as if they are used to firing arrows. And when you walk in the jungle, you walk with impudence. All the animals are getting scared. This is not how ascetics behave. Ascetics are very peace-loving, quiet. They tread very softly. So who are you, an ascetic? Are you ascetics or are you someone else? Because from your appearance, you appear to be forest dwellers, but from the lakshanas, from certain symptoms that I can observe and certain signs that I can see, you appear to be someone different. You appear to be very, very powerful warrior class people. So who are you? In the same instance, it has been pointed out, in this case, generally it is because Hanumanji is being presented here as an intelligent minister, so most probably always we've heard as that. What the focus is that Hanuman is very intelligent, right? There's another part to this, there's another view to this. Ram and Lakshman are wondering that this is a Brahmana, what is he doing in the jungle? Because Brahmanas don't come into the jungle, they stay in the villages and they perform the yaga, the yagya, they teach, they learn. That way, you don't find Brahmanas roaming into the jungle. You find ascetics and renunciates into the jungle. Now, Brahmanas don't speak much because they are tolerant. They only speak when it is required. Oh, sorry, the ascetics, they generally speak when it is required. Here, he appears to be an ascetic, but he's speaking so much. This is very diplomatic. Is he an ascetic or is he a diplomat? Who is he? Right? Brahmanas are self-satisfied. If someone approaches them, they are happy with it. No one approaches them, they're satisfied being alone. This person is very inquisitive. So who is he? So even Ram and Lakshman are intelligent. Yes? So because he was presenting him in such a way, Ram and Lakshman also behaved accordingly. They were being diplomatic. So finally, finding that none of this is working, Hanuman reveals his identity. And how does he reveal his identity? Prapta aham preshita tena sugrivena mahatmana. Ragya vanar mukhyanam Hanuman vanara namaha. Hanuman nama vanaraha. So he says, I have received the orders from the great personality Sugriva, who being the monkey chief, and I, because I have come with his order, I am his messenger, his order carrier. My name is Hanuman, the great monkey. Not the great monkey actually, but he says, Hanuman Namavanara. I am the monkey called Hanuman. So because this is the first introduction that he gave, this is how he introduced himself. I am the messenger of Sugriva. You come with a message. And who's Sugriva? Great, powerful personality. So hearing this, Lord Ram, he turned to Lakshman and he said, this is a very intelligent person. Please reveal to him who we are. So Lakshman turns to him and says, the great emperor Dashrath, who is the ruler of the entire planet Earth, who is even trusted and is glorified by the demigods. Sometimes they call him for assistance whenever needed. His eldest son, Ramachandra, this is he. And I am his servant, who he also considers as his brother. So this is how Lakshman introduced. Hanuman was very happy. Oh, this is very nice. They're not from Vali. Oh, they're Ram. I've heard of Ram. So they make, he takes them to Sugriva. They make friendship. Vali is defeated. Sugriva becomes the king of Kishkindha. After 4 months of the rainy season, the monkeys are sent in all the directions. Hanumanji, who is in the contingent that goes to the south, they come to know that Sita is on the island of Lanka. So Hanumanji jumps across. And he searches for Sita everywhere. Finally, where does he find Sita in? Okay, if you give the right answer loudly, anyone who gives the right answer loudly will get nice hot prasad after this lecture. All right, let's hear it again. Where did he find Sita? That's it. I knew prasad is a nice impetus. Yes, thank you so much. Yes, so all of you are now qualified. All right. So he finds her in Ashoka Vatika. And what does he find there? He finds Sita crying. Hanumanji feels this is not very nice. In Ashoka Vatika, Sita is in great shock. Therefore, this Ashoka Vatika cannot be Ashoka anymore. So he makes it a Shoka Vatika after that. Yes. This was Ravana's own personal garden. Now, Ravana had defeated Kuvira and taken over his capital, one-time capital of Lanka, the Suvarna Nagari, you know, the golden city of Lanka. He had taken the Pushpaka Viman from him. He had sent him to his previous capital in the Himalayas. Alkapuri, he'd sent him back. Kuvira had to go back. He had challenged the great demigods, defeated them in battle. He had borne all of their challenges in the form of their weapons, undaunted. He saw the kingdom of Indra, he saw his palace and said, I'll go back to my Lanka. He saw Indra's beautiful Nandan Kanan garden. He said, No. I cannot have someone else's property. I will have my own personal garden created, the Ashoka one. This was Ravana's personal property. Can you imagine how much blood, sweat he must have put? You know, others' blood, sweat maybe, but how much of his emotions were involved with this Vatika? That is why he kept Sita there. Because the entire garden, the topography and the landscaping and the general scenery was, it had been designed in such a way that even the most morose and depressed of all personalities in Treta Yuga were prescribed by doctors, go to Ashoka one. In Sri Lanka, those of you who can afford to go to Ashoka Vatika in Sri Lanka, this was the topmost prescription by all psychiatrists. Because it was the Ashoka Vatika. It was glamorous. It was beautiful. It completely endeared the mind and the senses. Ravana knew that if a lady can come with her husband and stay in the forest for so many years, he respected Mandodari because Mandodari was of such caliber. But then he knew that this lady could not be satisfied. There was no way to change her mind in another situation except Ashoka Vatika. Right? the Disney World of Sri Lanka. Really, that is the Ashoka Vatika. And he kept Sita there under the Shimshupa tree, one of the most beautiful trees with flowers and fragrances and bees humming around. And especially the tree, most probably it has an effect on one's psyche. Yeah. So he kept Sita there. 10 long months. And Hanumanji had visited in the 10th month. Right? Without visa and passport. Well, Ravan did not give the visa, but then Lord Ram had given him the supreme visa. Go anywhere. So he was there. And he saw Sita in such distress, so much distress. Can we imagine Hanumanji's plight, his emotions, what must be going through his mind? Somehow, first of all, he had to, you know, Hanumanji decided to send a friend note on Facebook to Mother Sita. But how did he do that? Not through the virtual world, not through, you know, click of a button. He came down and with folded hands, he presented himself as an envoy of Lord Ram. This is real friendship, connection. Otherwise, on Facebook, what happens? Friend, okay, accept. After a few days, no friend, reject. At a click of a button, this is how it happens, right? Click, like, click, dislike, finish, gone. He endeared himself to Mother Sita. She finally accepted him. Hanumanji said, right now, let us go across Hanuman Express. We'll fly across. Sita said, no. I want to be with Lord Ram. Even a moment. Now knowing that he is looking for me, knowing that you have come from him, knowing that there is a way back, I immediately want to run to him. But then what will the world say? That he lost his wife and could not even reclaim her back. How will he rule the kingdom? Anyone will come to the kingdom and just say, okay, steal it, gone. So his reputation as the future king will be tarnished. His reputation as the most exalted of all beings will be challenged. He has to come here and I have to endure that separation. It's not like today's world, you know, today's world. So how do you feel about it? You like it? You don't like it? All right, let us reject it. That's how today everything is about how I feel and you feel, right? There's no higher principle generally considered. Higher principles are considered to be dictatorial. I do as I please, I am free, like that. So for the higher cause, for the higher purpose, she decided to stay there longer. Now this wasn't easy because Ravana knows. Ravana will come to know that he has come from Ram. Can you imagine what defenses Ravana would put up around Lanka to keep Sita within and keep Ram out? And in that situation, knowing that this is how Ravana would respond, to decide to stay back requires a lot of courage, determination, faith, and most of all, love for the beloved. Because it's sacrifice. She stayed. Hanumanji he decided, okay, my task is over. So after talking to Sita, then he started on his way back. But on his way back, when he was coming towards Lanka, he had this one purpose in mind. Sita, 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 Sita. Found Sita. Purpose is fulfilled. Now he has to go back and report. Right? So now, for the first time, he actually started observing the surroundings from another perspective. Sita has been found. Now he has to go back and report. So now the task is almost done. So he becomes a little free to observe the surroundings and looks at this beautiful garden and he starts considering, well, I have done my task. I have found out Sita. No one is going to stop me from going back. It's done. But let me consider. I have come here. If I can find out and gauge the strength of the enemy, then in that case, if I have some useful data, some stats with me, then when we go back, then it will be helpful in planning a strategy in attacking. So what can I do? As Sugriva's envoy and spy, to find out the strength and the strategic locations of all the armory and etc. and so on of this country. Secondly, I haven't seen Ravana. I've heard a lot about him. If I see him personally, then the huge, you know, propaganda, the image that has been created in the media outside of Lanka, that can be reconsidered. Because I have personally observed, because outside of Lanka only people have heard, Ravana did this, you know, bigger than life image was there. So I said, okay, if I personally see Ravana, then most, this is what I'll come to know. Thirdly, Ravana will see me. And if he sees me and my prowess, he'll come to know who or what kind of adversary he's facing. This is very important. He should also feel a bit dejected considering the opposition that he's going to feel or going to meet. So with these reasons in mind, Hanumanji decided on the Ashoka convert to Shoka plan. That is when he wrote down that, you know, it was top secret file that he created right then. How to change this Ashoka one to Shoka one. The reasons, these three. He documented that and sent it via some mail back to Sugriva there. That was documented like that. And then he started rampaging the... And Hanumanji's rampage was, I mean... It was not really a rampage as much as a casual walk through the forest, you know, through that garden. Okay, what is this? Once when I was small, I read this, I think maybe it was some folklore. I think maybe Jataka tales or something like that. Monkeys were told by a gardener to water his garden because he had to go for his daughter's wedding in the village, the king's garden. So the monkey king agreed, we'll do. So he left. Then the monkeys came to him and said, how much water to each plant and tree? The monkey said, very simple. See which roots are large and which are small. Accordingly, put water. The monkeys went uprooting all plants and trees like that. So when the gardener came, he found an urdhva moola matha shakam. The monkeys were teaching Bhagavad Gita like that. The roots were up, branches were down. So Hanumanji, he decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So he went about plucking big trees. He just went pluck like that. Small plants, he did not even care because he just was walking on them. And all the beautiful birds and animals just started shrieking and howling and running away. And some of the, you know, servants that were there or the watchmen that were there, they came to challenge him and he said, like that. Just by the swing of his hand, the air, because he's Vayuputra, you know. So the air current that was generated, they went flying off. what is it called? Computer-generated graphics. What is it? CGI effect. He went like that, and they went flying in different directions. So the Rakshasis who were there, who had been appointed by Ravana to stay with Sita and befriend her or cajole her or somehow the other, make her fearful and agree to Ravana's terms, they became fearful and they went running to Ravana. And they said, "Oh king, there is this huge ferocious monkey, we do not know where from." Oh, before that they came to Sita. And they said, "Oh beautiful-eyed Sita, whose eyes are like does, like a deer. Please be merciful on us and tell us, who was this monkey who was speaking with you? You are having a conversation with him. Where has he come from? And why is he doing all this?" Sita looked at them very innocently and she said, "How do I know? From his looks, he appears to be just like one of you. He has taken a different form. Appears to be just like you, rampaging around. You must know him better than me, because people of one kind know someone of their kind, you know. Why was he having... I don't know. I just don't know who he is." So they were frustrated. So they went back to Ravana and they said, "This monkey is destroying everything in your Ashoka Van. And we are... this has created great lamentation in our hearts. And Sita... he had a conversation with Sita and Sita is not ready to tell us what conversation they had. The entire garden has been destroyed except the Shimshuka tree with Sita underneath it. Somehow or the other, he has not destroyed that part of the garden. We are not really sure whether he missed it because of his lack of judgment or intentionally because he's a monkey, or whether he wanted to protect Sita. Oh great king, we think maybe he's come from Indra, or he's a spy of Kuvera, or maybe an envoy of Lord Ram. We are not very sure, but he's very ferocious. Please make a plan to stop him, destroy him, and kill him." "Oh, who dare in Lanka? Which male in Lanka has the courage to go and even talk to Sita when they know that you have mentally accepted Sita?" Now this was too much for Ravan. You know, like in Hindi say, "Aapke hote hue kon baat kar sakta hai?" So now Ravana became angry and he called for his own personal elite guards. Now Ravana's own personal guards. The king has the army, he has the police, but he has his own personal... they are called the Kinkaras. Powerful people, each one of them, their prowess equal to that of Ravana. 80,000 of them he called and he sent them, "Go and capture this monkey or kill him." Oh, they were very enthusiastic. Who doesn't like monkey capturing, you know? So they went, 80,000 of them. Just imagine, 80,000. Now Ravana must be really fearful. Sending 80,000 of his elite corps. "Send them all. Go." They came. And they started showering Hanuman with so many arrows from all sides. It was as if a huge, heavy downpour was covering the most gracious and tallest of all mountains. Now, sometimes mountains just get covered by the huge downpour that is there, a heavy rainfall. Hanumanji was covered by all of that. But his Vayuputra, so he just sprang up, just leapt into the air, and all the arrows, they were unfruitful. They failed. Then Hanumanji went to the archway of that garden. The archway on which was written, "Maharaja Dhiraj Ravana's personal garden." Hanumanji stood on top of it, especially on top of Ravana, the name, I mean, stood on top of it and with a roar and slashing his tail on the ground, which created a big sound, he started saying, Jayati Yati Balorama Lakshmanascha Mahabala Raja Jayati Sugrivo Raghavena Bhipalita Dasoham Kosalendrasya Ramasya Klishta Karmana Hanuman Shatru Sainyanam Nihanta Murtatmaja Naravan Sahasramme Yuddham Pratibalam Bhavet Shilabhistu Prahrataha Padapaischa Sahastrashaha Ardayitvam Purim Lankam Abhivadyacha Maithilim Samriddhartho Gamishyami Mishatam Sarvarakshasam Jayati Yati Baloram. All glories to the supremely powerful Lord Ramachandra ki Jai. Lakshmanascha Mahabala, who is accompanied by his powerful expansion, Lakshman, the Raja and the king of the monkeys, Sugriva, all glories to him because Raghavena Vipalita, because his under Lord Ramchandra's Chhatra Chhaya. He is under the beautiful shade of the protection of Lord Ram. Abhipalitaha. You know? As if Lord Ramchandra is personally nourishing him like a child. All glories to Sugriva. And the servant of Lord Ram am I. That Lord Ram for whom any activity is performed as if it does not take any endeavor. Very easily, aklishta karmana, all of his activities are aklishta, easily performed, naturally performed, even if they are the most difficult of chores. Dasoham, I am the servant of that Lord Ram. And this Hanuman will single-handedly destroy the entire enemy ranks. For I am the son of Vayu. And Ravana, one or thousands of them, let them all come in battle. For thousands of Ramanas together are no match for my prowess. I will pick up all the rocks and boulders and use them as weapons, and when they are finished I will use these big trees and with them destroy the entire enemy soldiers. In this way I'll cause the whole city of Lanka to cry in lamentation. And having done that, I'll go and take the blessings of Mother Sita. Thus, having fulfilled my mission in front of your very own eyes, in front of the eyes of the Rakshasas, I will go back. And you will be left with your thumbs like this. You won't be able to do anything. Imagine telling that to Ravana's personal guards. Ah, they were so angry. But then Hanumanji's roar was so powerful, half of them had a heart attack, literally. But the Ravana's order was still ringing in their ears, capture him or kill him. And that was more fearful than Hanuman's roar. So they all attacked Hanuman with their darts and their spears and their swords and their javelins and any weapon that they had. Everyone attacked Hanuman. Hanumanji was in the archway, so he just picked up one of the pillars of the archway, one rod, one huge rod like that. And swinging it around, he went just zoom, 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 80,000 of them all dead. You know, just like Lord Ramachandra had finished off 14,000 in 1 hour, less than 1 hour, like that, with Hanumanji just with this rod went zoom, 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 like that. 80,000 of them finished. And some of them, somehow or the other, with broken arms or with some life, they ran back to Ravana and they said, we are so sorry, we are all dead. Ravana became so angry. He called out to Prahast. Prahast! Prahast was his chief minister. Send your son Jambumali, the most ferocious of all warriors, and your own son. Send him into battle. Let us show this monkey. So meanwhile, Hanumanji saw all of them running away and he was wondering, now what to do? I have to do something more. So he looked at this beautiful palatial mansion of the which was used by the Rakshasas in Sri Lanka to come and do some sort of worship. Most probably they worshipped Ravan there, you know. Some sort of place like this. Hanumanji said, okay. So he jumped on the top of that muscle, that building, that palatial building, and started shouting at the top of his voice. The same verses. Astra vijayatam ramo lakshmanascha mahabala raja jayati sugrivo ragamena bipalit dasoham koshalendrasya ramasya klishta karmana hanuman shatru sainyanam nihant maruta atmaja name ravan sahasram te yuddham pratibala. All those verses he chanted again, loudly, roaring. Right? So those kinkaras were guarding that, you know, their guards also guarding that place, obviously. They attacked Hanuman. Now Hanumanji was far away from the archway, so his rod was left there. So what he did was, he looked around, found this beautiful golden post, which had 100 edges in it. He lifted it out of the ground and started swinging it around his head. Now, a metal rod, when it is swung in the air, the law of physics works. How does it work? There is some friction created. And when there is gold on top of it, the friction makes the gold. Gold becomes hot. It burst into flames. And with that flaming rod, he jumped on all of the remaining kinkaras and just swaha, like that. Yeah. So there was no need for, you know, antim sanskar for anyone of them. The daha sanskar was done by Hanuman himself. He offered them the oblations of fire. Oh, so meanwhile Prahasta comes. Prahasta is, oh, he's preparing. So in that time Hanumanji says, there are innumerable powerful monkeys just like me, of huge form and immense strength, all marching towards this place. Some of them have the power of 10 elephants, some have the power of 100 elephants, some have the power of 1,000 elephants, some have the power of a flowing, powerful flowing stream or a river. Some have the power of the wind. Some have such power that it is immeasurable. There's hundreds and thousands and lakhs and crores of such powerful monkeys surrounding Sugriva, who is capable of destroying all of you, are coming here. I am just one sample, you know. Pasand aaye to le lo. If you like, you can take. But this is just a sample. Because you have chosen the enmity of Lord Ram, therefore, you and the entire city of Lanka will be destroyed. So Prahasta comes in now. Charging. Well, he has donkeys on his chariot, so he was really charging. Donkeys are pulling him. Powerful. Prahasta has been defined as undefeatable in battle, has been described like that. He has beautiful weapons, very powerful body, lot of confidence. He comes, he looks at Hanuman sitting there on the archway, and Hanumanji is just sitting there, and you know. So Hanumanji has, this is what Hanumanji does. You know, the first 80,000 kinkaras goes and sits on the archway. Especially, he stands there with his, where does he keep his leg on? Yeah. Somehow he finds that a good, he can balance himself by putting his leg there like that. And because he has some time, no, nothing else is left, so what does he do? What does anyone do? What does a devotee do when they have time and nothing to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Stands standing, Hare Krishna, you know. Just waits. So Prahasta comes, so puts his kartal aside and then stands up. Okay, ready. He stands up. Prahasta shoots one arrow that hits him in the face, another arrow that strikes his head, five arrows that hit his arms. Blood starts pouring out of these wounds, and Hanuman looks like a beautiful lotus that has been touched by the first rays of the Vasanta Ritu sun, the autumn sun. He looks like a beautiful lotus, pink lotus flower sprouting in the sky, sprinkled with sandal paste. But he gets angry. He gets very angry. He starts roaring. Looking around, he finds a huge boulder. He picks it up and aims at Prahasta, who's charging towards him. Prahasta sees Hanuman standing with the boulder. He takes 100 arrows and shoots it at that boulder and crushes it to pieces. This makes Hanumanji so angry. He looks around, finds a huge sala tree, uproots it and starts swinging it around his head. Four arrows. Prahasta shoots, Jambumali, this is not Prahasta, Prahasta's son Jambumali shoots four arrows. The sal tree is cut to bits. He shoots one arrow right into the chest of Hanuman. Five arrows he shoots into his arms and 10 arrows between the two breasts. Arrows sticking out of him. Hanuman becomes so angry, jumps into the air, increases his size, looks at Jambumali and falls on him with rapid speed. The Ramayana says Jambumali's arms, his legs, his face, his body, Jambumali himself were not to be found even by the best of the scientific instruments anymore. They just disappeared. No one knows where everything disappeared, just vanished. All that was found was the chariot that was broken with its axle and the dead donkeys. Hanumanji sees this, says, okay. Goes back onto the archway and starts chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What to do? Nothing else. Ravana becomes very angry. Huh? Jambumali killed? Send the best warrior sons of the ministers into battle. Seven sons of Prahasta come into battle with a huge army. Hanuman sees all of them coming. He starts running towards them. Just imagine this scene. It would be so nice if we can make a movie on this scene, you know. The whole army coming and Hanumanji is like this superhero. Charging, running towards them. No wonder, you know, sometimes the scripts, they have such action scenes nowadays. But they do not have the power of Hanuman behind the superhero, whoever is, right? Hanuman charges at them. And when he charges into them, some he just, you know, kills them by hitting them with his palms. Boom. Others he kills them with his feet as he's running. Boom, 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 like that. A few of them he kills with his fists. By the time, you know, he gets, okay, now I have to. So a few of them he kills with his fists. Some he tears with his nails. Others he doesn't have much time, so they get crushed against his chest as he's running. And a few are crushed against his thighs. And by the time Hanuman has finished his sprint, and his sprint, you know, it's a cross-country race actually. He goes like this all around. It's not a straight race. It's not a 100-meter sprint dash. It's actually maybe a marathon, you know, something like that, but at a fast pace, going above hills and valleys and like that, a decathlon. So Hanumanji goes like that. By the time he's finished sprinting, he feels really rejuvenated. Nice exercise. Looks around, finished. Seven sons of Prahasta gone in the army, finished. So the news reaches Ravana now. Ravana becomes really very disturbed. His eyes become red with anger. Calls five of his best generals. Their names: Virupaksh, Yupaksh, Durdhara, Praghasha, Bhaskaran. Really villain-like names, right? if someone has names like this, you know, someone is a good person, what names would they have? Sumit, Amit, like that. Ladies have Sushil or something like that. Sushila, like that. Yeah. Now, if you hear Praghas, Durdhar. Oh, these five generals came into the... Durdhar, he first attacked Hanuman. He shot a few arrows at Hanuman. Hanuman was just... He just jumped in the air. The arrows went, you know, missed him. So Durdhar also jumped in the air with his chariot and shot hundreds of arrows at him. Hanumanji, this was too much for him. He said, what? I mean, on the ground, you are also coming in the air. This is too much. So Hanumanji just jumps on him. As he did with, you know, Jambumali. Just jumps on him. Finished. Squashed. Durdhara is on Dhara. Durdhara, it's not very easily to hold him up, but now Mother Earth is holding him, you know, squashed like that. So this very much disturbs Virupaksha and Yupaksha. They challenge Hanuman in the air with clubs and together they hit him on the chest, boom, boom, like that. Hanumanji, and these are, you know, these are big people, so their clubs also big. I mean, today, you know, you just carry dandas so big, 2 feet long. But these clubs are not just 2 feet long. You know, if you go to some Salarjung Museum in Hyderabad, you find the swords. I mean, it appears as if they're highways. So long, like that. People used to, this was in the 17th century, so this is in Treta Yuga, can you imagine? So they, when we say they're hitting with clubs, there must be some distance between them. So Hanumanji finds them at a distance. So what he does is picks up a sal tree and starts using it as a club. Finished. Those two are dead. Finished. End of Virupaksha and Yupaksha. So now, Praghasha, he attacks Hanuman from behind and Bhaskaran takes a spear and starts attacking him from front. Then Praghasha picks up his spear, which is very pointed and sharp, and he attacks Hanumanji from behind. And Bhaskaran takes a dart, swings it around, a swinging dart, and is, you know, with nails in it, and is hitting Hanuman like that. Hanumanji says, okay, enough is enough. He just walks away to a mountain peak, rips it off, and throws it on them. The end. That is the end of this chapter. So now, Ravana is really, really concerned. So he's sitting in an assembly like this. Let's suppose I'm Ravana like that, you know. Only suppose, please. And then you're the assembly, all right? Just suppose. So all this news is coming to Ravan. So Ravan goes like this and looks at his eyes. That is Aksha, his youngest son, who's just received his driver's license recently. So... just imagine those of you who are parents with sons who have just received driver's license. Can you imagine those sons, they feel as if they can, you know, take over all of your burden and responsibility, isn't it? A lot of impetuousness and also a lot of youthful energy. So Yaksha, immediately seeing his father looking at him, jumps up and says, yes, sir. Now, Aksha gets up on his chariot, a celestial chariot. Aksha is not an ordinary boy. He's a boy who's been used to good studies, respecting his elders, a lot of austerity, and he has won a lot of mystical powers at a young age. So Aksha gets up and he goes into battle, and when everyone sees him coming into battle, they are astounded seeing this young, beautiful, dynamic, handsome boy going so confidently riding on his amazing celestial chariot into the battlefield. And Hanumanji, he's just sitting on the archway there. And when Hanumanji sees him, he is astounded seeing the brilliance and the energy that is pouring out of the out of this young boy. Yeah? Aksha sees him from far and seeing Hanumanji's splendor, he's overawed. Just seeing him, the sense of this, such a sense of overpowering awe on Aksha that he's dumbstruck. And then he realizes what he has done, because he sees all those chariots and smashed up bodies, and he sees his own people dead. Becomes very angry. He takes 3 arrows and shoots Hanuman. Those arrows are like snakes. They come and pierce Hanumanji's body and suck his blood. Hanumanji is amazed. He looks at those arrows and looks at Aksha and understands. Aksha observes him very carefully. The initial awe that was there is slowly replaced by his training. He has been trained to be calm and focused in battle. And that now slowly becomes his demeanor. Very focused, very alert, tense, and ready for battle. This brings about such enthusiasm in him. He charges towards Hanuman, takes 3 more arrows, shoots it at Hanumanji. Hanumanji observes him. Even the celestials, those in the upper planets, have come here because this is such an unmatched battle. Here is Hanumanji of superpowers, and here is Aksha, just a young kid. They want to see this. Aksha charges at Hanuman. Hanuman looks at him and says, "This boy, he is behaving much beyond his age, his years, his confidence, his posture speaks of maturity that is much beyond his years. He's so focused and tolerant. His eyes never move away from its target." Hanumanji, for a moment in his heart, he feels my mind is not really inclined to kill him. Just look at this boy. He's coming in here as a fearless warrior. His appearance and the chariot, all of this speaks that he must have received the blessings of his elders. He must have received the blessings of the rishis and the nagas and the yakshas. Those must be his virtuous qualities. But he has come to fight me in battle, and if I don't respond, then he may overpower me. Therefore, it is important that I kill him. Thinking like this, Hanumanji jumps into the air to avoid his arrows. Aksha follows him with his arrows. Wherever Hanuman goes, he finds, oh, these arrows are following me like heat-seeking missiles. They're simply following me. Finally, Hanuman decides not to run anymore, to face him. So Hanumanji comes rushing at him, and with a huge slap, he destroys his chariot and kills his horses. Without a chariot, Aksha starts falling down onto the ground, but using his power, he starts rising into the sky, higher and higher up. Hanumanji slowly catches up with him, firmly, you know, grasps his legs, starts swinging him around his head, and throws him with great force on the ground, and Aksha is dead. Hanumanji goes and sits back on the archway and starts chanting Hare Krishna. What? Aksha is dead? Indrajit, you are the best of my sons. You have defeated even the demigods. They are fearful of you. You know no fear in battle. No one can stand in battle in front of you. No one can challenge you. You have received boons from Brahma himself and weapons from the superiors. Remember, this is not an ordinary monkey. Must be an evil spirit. We have defeated so many of the celestials. We have defeated the demons, the yakshas, the nagas. Most probably Indra, through his powers, through his austere powers, he must have created a being to come and cause this carnage. Be careful of him. In my time, I have seen monkeys. I have seen Vali and I have seen Sugriva. I have seen the great Jambavan. I have seen Dvida and Neela, the chief of the monkey army. But the destruction that he causes is never seen by me before. The efficacy, the power, the intellect, and the ability to change form at will, I have never seen in anyone. So this monkey appears to be a monkey, but not a monkey. Therefore, do not take chances. Be alert. If you think that you'll go with an army and that army will protect you and conquer Hanuman, let me warn you. Much of the army has gone before and they've all been killed. This army cannot protect you. Only you can protect yourself, and you can protect yourself by being alert and relying on your own knowledge and experience of weapons. You and me are not different. We both are having the same power, but I am the king, therefore you have to go. And I have to send you. You are unchallengeable in the three worlds. No one can defeat you. But go in battle. Be careful. So Indrajit goes into battle. They have a big fight. No one can find weakness in each other. Finally, Indrajit thinks, okay, let me use the Brahmastra. Shoots the Brahmastra weapon, a weapon that will not kill Hanuman, but bind him. Make him ineffective. Hanumanji sees the Brahmastra and says, oh. Now what is Brahmaji doing here? He remembers, okay, Brahmaji had given him a boon long back that none of the weapons of the demigods is going to affect me in any way. And because Brahmaji is a supreme being in the universe, in that sense, amongst the gods and demigods, his weapon has to be respected. So he accepted it. He got bound up. But Brahmaji had blessed him that within a few moments, it will be ineffective. Even my weapon will be ineffective. So Hanumanji was just waiting and he was thinking, maybe this is Brahmaji trying to help me. Because if this goes on, everyone will come except Ravana, and finally when he comes, he'll be alone and I'll have to kill him. Then what will Lord Ram do? And then what will Sita do? And what will people think? Right? So maybe this is Brahmaji's plan, that I respect his weapon. In this way, I get a chance to meet with Ravana and give him a warning, a fair warning. So he got bound up. Now meanwhile, the Rakshasas, they came and they removed the Brahmastra weapon, which looked like a rope, and tied him with ropes that they had made because they thought their ropes are much powerful. Now Indrajit said, ayyo. You know, this is Sri Lanka, no? He said, the Brahmastra is the supreme most of weapons and they have replaced it with ordinary ropes. This is an insult to a supreme weapon. Now this Hanuman can never ever be tied with any weapon. Ayyo. Like that. What to do? Yeah. So yeah, when you're surrounded with fools, then you dig your own grave, right? So it was ineffective. Now Hanumanji knew that the weapon was going to be ineffective after some time. Indrajit knew it was already ineffective. But he was thinking, Hanuman does not know, so let it be. So these monkeys, now they got some, now we have got Hanuman. So they were jumping around and they were kicking him and they were dragging him here. Hey, come here, go there, you foolish monkey, this, that. Some of them said, who is he? Where has he come from? Whom does he belong to? Who are his relatives? Does he have anyone here? Who are his allies? Why did he come here? What is his purpose? Let's kill him. Let's roast him alive. They're thinking, Hanumanji was just looking at them, and Indrajit was allowing all of this to be done, and he was wondering, is this how you treat Indrajit? I am a powerful warrior. This is how? Is this your culture? Just thinking like that. He was really shocked that Indrajit is allowing this to happen. But he kept tolerant, because very soon they were brought in front of Ravan, and then he saw this powerful, powerful being. He was amazed. Ravan looked like the blazing sun. He was so well decorated. He was like the moon surrounded by luminaries in the sky. Every person around Ravan was brilliant, powerful. No one could stand in an assembly like that and not be affected by it. And Hanuman was thinking, this person is so powerful. If only he had been a devotee, he could have been the protector of the entire universe and protected all living entities. But due to his lust and his envy and his greed, he has caused so much pain to all living entities. He's thinking like that. These thoughts are coming in his mind. Ravana looked at him with disdain. He called Prahasta, was his chief minister, and said, ask him who he is and why he has come here. And why has he troubled the Rakshasis? No. Ravana's, because in any society, if, generally, you know, sometimes you are in a train or in a bus and someone misbehaves, the lady, then the whole crowd says, samajh mein nahi aata hai, ladies hai. There's this sort of notion, there's a culture, right, that there has to be somehow the men feel that this is how it should be done, they must be protected or given their own space. So Ravana is also trying to make that point. He was really concerned about, you know, thousands of his soldiers were killed. But why did it trouble my lady attendants? This is beyond forgiveness. Troubling lady attendants. So Prahasta comes to Hanuman and says, don't worry. Nothing will happen to you. He looks very angry, but he's also very merciful. You just have to speak the truth. Did Indra send you? Are you a spy of Kuvera? Or did Yama, the god of death, he send you? Or were you sent by Varuna? Or did you come as a messenger from Vishnu? Tell us. If you speak the truth, there is hope. If you lie, you will be destroyed. Typical filmy dialogue. Who are you? You appear like a monkey, but your splendor is not like a monkey. It is much more. Who are you? Hanuman says, since birth, this is who I am. I've always been a monkey. And as a monkey, I thought I'll go and see other places. So I came to visit Lanka. I did not come from Indra, nor Varuna or Yama sent me. I'm no friend of Kuvera's. And Vishnu did not instigate me. I thought, well, there is so much talk going about Lanka, so let us go and see Lanka. And I thought, well, I have to see Ravana also. He's the king of Lanka, so let me see if I can get an audience with him. So I came here. And then all of these powerful Rakshasas started attacking me. So in order to protect my own life, I killed all of them. That is it. And then Hanuman became serious and said, actually, I've come as an envoy of Lord Ram. Dutoham iti vigyeyo raghavasya mitaujasa shruyatam api vachanam mama patyam idam prabhu. He says, know me to be the messenger of Lord Ram. That Lord Ram whose prowess never decreases even a bit. Amita ojasaha. Ojas, his prowess is ever increasing. And let me offer you some sincere words of advice, O dear king. And after that, Hanumanji offers advice. And then Ravana rejects it, and then the battle takes place. And every one of you know what happens after that. If you don't, then please, you may not necessarily see Ramanand Sagar's Ramayana or any other Ramayana. You can read Valmiki Ramayana to know what happened after that. Anyways, when Hanumanji in the Kishkindha Kand, he approached Lord Ram and Lakshman. What did he say? Aham preshitaha prapta sugrivena mahatma sugrivena ragya. I have come as the messenger of the great king Sugriva. And here what does he say? Dutoham iti vigyeyo raghavasya. I am the messenger of Lord Ram. So, what is the point? And This is where I would like to share some very important messages. Something, you know, take away home. Like that, something that you can carry with you. All of our efforts, whoever we may be, right from the worm or the fly to the highest of demigods, anyone who's embodied, who has this body, everyone is spirit soul and they have a body. Whoever is embodied, the goal of their life is self-preservation. Anything to do with how I can be satisfied and happy. So self-preservation is the motto, it is a goal. And where does how do we act on it? Self-preservation is based on the principle, especially self-preservation, that I have to protect myself, I have to be happy, I myself have to be happy, is based on the on a principle that is known as self-identification. I am this body. This is who I am. Right? This is what is my identity. And because I considered myself to be this body and I'm so much concerned about preserving myself, there's so much desire for self-preservation. Not so much, it is all encompassing. It is all encompassing. People in a crowd may sit for a couple of hours, couple of minutes, like that. But after some time, when they feel a little discomfort, then they start edging this way and that way. It is an attempt at self-preservation. Only time that they may, you know, restrict themselves to a bit is when their son or daughter comes, young son or daughter comes and sits on their lap. So they undergo some discomfort for some time. And when the discomfort reaches a threshold level, they pick up the child and put him aside. And, you know, self-preservation. Yes, this is the principle governing. What is the problem with this? This kind of self-preservation, which is based on the idea that I am this body, it only results in what is known as sense gratification. To satisfy the senses which make up this body. Either it may be the gross senses or the subtle senses. There is satisfaction for the skin or the ears, or there has to be satisfaction for the mind and the intelligence. And it is all an attempt to somehow or the other be happy. And how does one express this sense gratification? The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that. Pungsa striya mithuni bhava metur tayor mitho hriday granthe ahus atha kshetra grih apta sut vittair janasya mohoyam aham ameti. This is how sense gratification is, you know, engaged in trying to connect oneself with griha, a house, kshetra, the land or country, apta, relatives, suta, children or lineages, and money. Because money is required for all of this. So now we started off with I and we have gone into mine. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 7th verse, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he concentrates on one word used by Arjuna when he's addressing Krishna. Arjuna says, Karpanya dosho, and Prabhupada concentrates on this word, Kripana. Which is helpful to understand this the thought process that we are going through. What is a kripana? Prabhupada defines kripana in very simple words. He says, a kripana is someone who has the most valuable of all objects and is most expert at underutilizing it or not utilizing it at all. What is the most valuable object? This human form of body. Now that we have this human form of body, use it for the benefit that it is meant for. Self-realization, understanding that we are soul, part and parcel of God. We are spirit. We are meant to be a part of the spiritual world and not follow, not suffer incessantly with drops of happiness in between in this material world. That is not who we are. Mrityuma amrutgamayaha. Give up death and go towards deathlessness, the Shruti says. So Kripana does not know this. Just as a miser has thousands of dollars and hundreds of pounds, all of this in his, you know, small vault, and all it to him, it is just so much in terms of virtual wealth. So much in terms of virtual wealth. It might as well be just paper kept there because it is not used. Just stored and never used. It can buy anything that the miser wants, but because it is never used for buying, it is useless. The potential is there, but underutilized, not utilized. That is a miser. So because a miser has this benefit and underutilizes it or not, does not solve the real problems in life. May solve all problems in life. This, my hair is falling, new hair, you know, gel. Or what else? My nose is running, so go and take some antihistaminics from the doctor. The ear is ringing, go to the doctor. The stomach is hungry, go to the, you know, fast food joint that is available. I feel angry, hit the person next to me. Yeah. So many. Bahu shakhai anantascha. So many avenues. Avavasayina. Because they are not focused on the goal. They do not understand. So cannot solve the real problems in real problems in life. One of the major problems in life is the time we have now is going to be lost. That means death is there. Let's say right now I am 56 years old, 11 months, 56 years, 11 months, 3 days, 22 hours, 59 minutes old. I'm never going to be that after this minute. Never again am I going to be that. I am dying. I am dead. This is one of the biggest problems that you're facing. Least concerned. Although we have the means to somehow or the other seek a solution for it. Hence, a Kripana quits his body like cats and dogs. No. You know, in Hindi, that saying is there, kutte ki maut marta hai. Actually saw this. You go to the highways in India, you find kutte ki maut matlab kya hota hai. Now dog comes. Nobody even looks back, sees. None of his relatives come to cry. Finished. Lapata. You know, nobody even puts out an advertisement. Aapani ana pahilat ka. Have you seen this personality? Kutte ki maut. Quit life like cats and dogs without understanding self-realization. And then Prabhupada speaks something very interesting. The quality of such a one who has this understanding in life is overtly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. And then he uses a very interesting kind of phrase or two words to describe this overtly affection. He says, this overt affection towards family, country, society, this and that, is because of skin disease. And how Prabhupada defines the skin disease is so powerful. He says, the skin disease is that the Kripana thinks, I will protect my family from death, and my family, society, or country will protect me from death. He says, this is a skin disease. Oh, powerful definition of I and my Amameti. I will protect my family. Today you see in the world, every one of us is convinced of we are having the skin disease, all of us. I will protect my family, my society, my country, this, that, etc. from death. And they will protect me from death. Prabhupada says this is also present in the lower animals. Hanumanji, when he presented himself as the agent of Sugriva, the principle of skin disease is there. It's very prominent. What happened? Lord Ram didn't even speak with him. He told Lakshman, "Baat karo." So powerful. What happens because of the skin disease? There's a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatna buddhi kunape tridhatuke. This kunape, this corpse, one who has faith in this corpse. You know? What do you mean by faith? Those who are white want to become black, those who are black want to become white. Fair and lovely, fair and handsome, right? It's amazing, really. I have an opportunity to travel sometime to the West, and it's amazing to see how they are trying to become blacks. These have fair white skin. No? And they are going for tan and tan lotion and this. Oh my God. Many of them land up with carcinomas, you know, skin cancers. And it's so very interesting to see this part of the country, the so-called browns or blacks. Surf Excel. Ultra detergent powder. Majboot se majbooti gandaki ko dur kare. Kisi prakar ka kala pan ya daag ho. And a beautiful lady comes here. Kya aapke paas bhi hai? Fair and lovely, fair and handsome. So kunape. It's a corpse. How do we know it's a corpse? Go to a morgue. It smells. Dekha kaise badbu aati hai? Smashan bhumi mein aise 4-5 murde rakhe rahe na? Badbu. It smells, it stinks. Sleep overnight. Have a 8 hours sleep and ask someone to sit beside you once you get up. You get up and, you know, for some time just try to smell how you smell like. Corpse. Because most of the body has been dead for some time, it's not really working. Then you realize, ye corpse. This is actually, it smells. You get up, you sabun ragdo, polish, toothpaste lagao, and then you come back. Good morning. It is called hygiene, isn't it? Personal hygiene. Anyways, so yasyatma buddhi kunape tirdhatuke swadhi kalataradishu bhoma ijjeti yatirtha buddhi shalilena karhichit janeshu abhigneshu saeva gokara. This verse says that people in this world, it's not that this body is important, but they give so much wrong importance to this body, that which is not really helpful, that type of importance they give to this body. And how? Swadhi. I am important. Kalatradeshu, my family. They are mine. Bhaumaijyadi, this is my land, worshipable. This mata ki jai. Right? They go to holy places. I am very dharmic. I went to Chardham. I went to one of the Chardhams and visited Chardham in that one dham. And took bath in all the rivers. So they think that because they're taking bath in all the rivers, to surf hai kya? Saaf karke bahar nikal gaye. Jyada gandigi ho gaya, chalo kida ja rahe? Char dham. Saaf ho kar wapas aage ganda hone ke liye. It's like beer. Those who think like that, what happens? Such people never develop same family type relationships with sadhus. As much as relationships they have with their family members, they cannot have the same intimacy with saintly people. Those who have such type of worship towards the land, they do not have the same intense worship for the saintly personalities. And those who have such type of belief in holy places, they never ever hear from the saints in those holy places or realize their importance. And thus, their life is simply like dogs or animals, hogs, camels, like that, cows. Just animals, because animals also do the same thing, one way or the other. So this is the skin disease. And this episode in the Kishkandha Kand so well reflects that. And the response is, seeing Lord Ram, still so far away from Lord Ram. Still so far away from Lord Ram. Because of the skin disease. So that is first point. As soon as Hanumanji, now, when did Hanumanji accept himself as Lord Ram's servant? The first time when he sat there and said, Dasoham Koshalendrasya. I am the servant of Lord Ram. He loudly declared, because Hanumanji saw that all the TV channels, NDTV, ZTV and all from Lanka were gathered there. They were asking his, Aapko kuch kehna hai? So this is what he spoke to be recorded. I am the servant of Lord Ram. In the Ramayana, this is when he accepted, this is where he clearly says, I am the servant. In Lanka. And then in front of Ravana, which is very dangerous, he says, I am the messenger of Lord Ram. I mean, he could have said, I am the messenger of Sugriva. But he said, the messenger of Lord Ram. So a circumstance which is not really favorable. We'll come to this point a little later on. The second point that is important is to learn is, Indrajit and his younger brother Yaksha had very good qualifications. Very good qualifications. Unfortunately, all those qualifications, they surrendered unto the intentions of Ravan. It's all right to be subordinate to the father and to the king. Sometimes we may be forced to do it. But to be enthusiastic and take pleasure in accomplishing an intention of a father and a king, which is really against Lord Ram, that is not helpful. Vibhishan, as soon as he got the opportunity to give it up, he went. And till the time he was there, he was always trying to stick to the principle that Lord Ram must be respected. And so must his wife. He stuck to it. Now, Aksha was a young boy. I mean, he did austerity. There's no records that Aksha was a drunkard or he went to bars or discotheques. Nothing like that. It doesn't appear. What appears are his glorious qualities. Just one chapter about Aksha and all of his brilliant qualities. Hanumanji himself sees that and he feels, I am not really inclined to kill him. But because he's come to fight on behalf of Ravan, so Bhagavatam explains this very nicely. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati kanchana sarvair gunes tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kutah mahat guna manorathena sati dhavati bahi. Someone may not seemingly have qualifications which are glorious in this world, but if they become unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all good qualities come begging at the doorstep. Please, can you engage us in your service? But someone goes to Harvard and Princeton and IIT and Ames and IIMs and gets all this, as Prabhupada says, big, big zeros. Oh, lot of them, but there is no one. Stock market crash. So if we have all the qualifications but not surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they simply become a burden and confuse a person on the path of progressive self-realization. So Aksha exemplifies that. And so does Indrajit. Quite a virtuous man himself. But supported the intentions of Ravan. And point number three is what I was saying. It is possible that the skin disease is very powerful. It is not possible, but it is a fact. Even after years and years and years and decades of trying to practice, of being oriented spiritually, the skin disease does not go. The faith, right, that Krishna will protect is not as powerful as my country or my family or my doctors or my this or my bankers, they will protect. Not that such protection is not there. We are not saying it is not there. What we are saying is the amount of faith that we put in others, that much faith we don't put in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reason being the skin disease. But if we go on taking up spiritual lessons, having spiritual orientation again and again and again, if sometimes it is boring, sometimes it is tedious, sometimes it is enthusiastic, sometimes it is mind-boggling. We go through the ups and downs, the ghanatarala, riding the waves of these emotions. We somehow or the other stick to the practice of regulated spiritual life. Somehow or the other do it through years and years and decades, go on through it. And when the time comes when it is actually required, antakale cha mameva smaran uktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra sangshaya. If at the moment when it is, as they say, the moment of reckoning, we don't know when it is, but when the moment comes and we actually fit the bill, we can say, duto ham iti vigyeyo raghavasya mitau jasa. We are able to say that all that fight we get eternal rest after that, no more fighting. No more struggle. Complete shelter. Happiness. It's worth it. Those of us who are waiting for, you know, some asteroid to come and hit us, and that asteroid is completely full with Krishna Prem or Lord's mercy, and it hits us, and suddenly, you know, everything changes and life becomes 100% Krishna conscious, doesn't work that way. Mama Maya Durataya, this skin disease is very powerful. It cannot be given, you know, overcome so easily. What we can do is endure through it and go on with our spiritual practices. And when the time comes, that day comes, when Hanumanji, for him it came in Lanka, when the day comes, we can say, I am the servant of Lord Ram. That is who I am. His messenger. The benefit is, when we go back with the message that Sita has been found, the embrace of Lord Ram is there. The first embrace that Hanuman ever receives in his life. Because he had gone there, most probably with this idea, Ragya, on the orders of Sugriva, and he had come back as Ramadut. And the result was Lord Ramchandra embraced him to his own heart. And that is what we all are wanting, isn't it? To be embraced by Lord Ram. How is this possible? How do we know, or how can we prepare? Is it possible to be prepared for that moment of reckoning? Yes. What was it that, you know, prepared Hanumanji? Let us, from a study point of view, service. Service, unalloyed, direct service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says three types of servants are there, three classes. The third class is those who know what to do, those who have been told what to do, those who have heard what to do and still don't do it. They're servants nonetheless. Prasad khate hain, achha hai. But they stay in the master's house, they do something here and there, but really do not carry out what has been told. The second class servant is, they are told every day, this is what you must do, and they do it to the dot. And the first class servant is, they do it even before they are told. They anticipate the service. They are so much eager to find service. They are so much enthusiastic to be doing service. They are so much love to do service that they are looking out for service. And they do it even before they are told. And that is what Hanumanji did. He looked out for more service. What more can I do in this Ashokavan? And then he thought, oh, maybe make it a Shokavan for Ravan. Right? So when we are engaged in this way, in doing service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the intelligence becomes purified, that when the moment of reckoning comes in front of Ravana, the biggest challenge of our life, dutoham iti raghavasya, we can do that. So, in the seventh canto, when Narsingh Chaturdashi is coming, Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, there was strong skin disease, or the influence of skin disease in both cases. In one case, the influence was not affecting, in the other case, it was very much affecting. Hiranyakashipu loved his son, showered everything on him, wanted to make him the best of all beings, as good if not better than him. And when he came to know that his son is actually worshipping or totally surrendered to Vishnu, he was ready to kill him. So love turns into utmost hate because of the skin disease. And Prahlad, his father asks him, whom are you worshipping? Lord Vishnu, give him up. My dear father, my heart is like a magnet. It's like iron filings. Lord Vishnu is like a magnet. I'm automatically attracted to him. Kill him! Now will you forget? I can't forget Vishnu. And finally, when his father is killed, Lord Vishnu asks him, Narasingh asks him, what is the benediction you want? Please liberate my father. So it seems that when we say skin disease is a problem, then question arises, should we become, you know, give up all of these relationships? Prahlad never gave it up. That is why he's Prahlad Maharaj. At the same time, he never gave up his spiritual practices, even under extreme duress. And he was never ever disrespectful towards his elders. And never lost his compassion, never forgot his duty in terms of material relationships. And he was a real well-wisher of his father. So if you really, really, really care for all of these things, then giving up the skin disease, we have to become influenced by Krishna, by Lord Ram, by Lord Narasingadev. And then protection is guaranteed to us and to all these other extensions. So, this is a wonderful aspect of the Ramayana, and slowly Narasingh Chaturdashi is coming up, and a thought to be kept in mind, that let our real interest be in Lord Vishnu, because he is the root of all existence. The rest of the tree will definitely be satisfied. And when the time does come, let our services be such a motivation, done in such a way that our intelligence is purified at that moment of time of reckoning, where we can establish clearly, forget for others to understand, clearly even understand ourselves, that this is who I am, Krishna Das, eternally the servant of the Lord and of his devotees. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki, Bhagwan Shri Ramachandra ki, Shri Narasingadeva Bhagwan ki, Tai Gaura Premanande.